It's going down, and you're invited.
The disenfranchised people are set to explode.
My name is Andalusia Noel Solov, more commonly known in social networks as Andalucha or Andalalucha. I am a freelance multimedia journalist originally from New York City, and I have been living and working in Mexico for about the past 8 years, mostly covering social justice movements, security, disappearances, and also have worked on migration, both in Mexico and also in the United States.
Awesome. Well, you've been on the streets the past couple of nights, I know, just, you know, recording and reporting on stuff. What's happened since people from the caravan have come into Tijuana?
So half of the first caravan has arrived at Tijuana. The other half, probably between 2,000 and 3,000 more people will be arriving today. Oh. And those that had already arrived were between 2,000 and 3,000 because the caravan did advance a lot faster on its journey towards the north, choosing the path that was longer but a little safer than the other paths. But people have been traveling together, but also getting hitching rides in trucks and buses. And then there was some confusion of whether governments were going to put give them buses or not. And also they passed through a lot of areas, Nayarit and Sonora, where there recently were hurricanes, so a lot of the places that could have possibly been made available for them as shelters were being used as shelters for people that had lost their homes in these hurricanes very recently. So therefore, it was very complicated for them passing through there. Therefore, when they got to Mexicali, which is like about a two-hour drive east of Tijuana, also on the border, then some people stayed in Mexicali, some got further to Tijuana, and they have been in a shelter that really has very little resources. It's a converted stadium, and it's about a stone's throw away from the border, meaning a stone's throw away from the U.S., as in they have come 4,000 miles to be so close to their dreams, but yet still so far away, because even though the border is right there, it's very impossible for them to cross it right now. So the migrants have been in the shelter. There is not really enough food, enough bathrooms, and so they're definitely feeling, you know, happy, perhaps many that I spoke to, that they have made it to the north, but not knowing what to do. And there's very little organization regarding how the family members will be requesting asylum, other people requesting asylum, what they need. Many people don't have any proofs that they might need for asylum. There's some lawyers trying to help, but basically also there's other asylum seekers that are already here in Tijuana, which is a city where many migrants do arrive, that are putting their names on list and saying, okay, come back in 2 months. So now the question is, what's going to happen with all these migrants that are here for months? And then also, very sadly, there has been through social networks, people have really been promoting hate against the migrants. Just there was a protest on a few days ago on a Sunday that was first convoked against, you know, to protest the migrants. This was after 2 nights before that, when the migrants first arrived, they were on the beach of Tijuana, and they, as migrants, were sleeping.
We hope that you are enjoying this episode of This Is America, or the latest episode of the It's Going Down podcast. We know that a growing number of the proletarian community tune in every week to hear both resistance news and the latest headlines on everything from climate change to Trump.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
But before you fast forward that dial...
Hell no, it can't wait! Your lives will be affected!
We bring you a special announcement. We need your help this winter in meeting our fundraising goal of $10,000. So if you don't want to see IGD slowing down anytime soon,
say hell no, motherfuckers!
Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop. Give us a one-time donation, buy some awesome swag, or sign up to become a monthly supporter.
Now, I want you to go in that bag and find my wallet.
Which one is it?
It's the one that says bad mother...
And now, back to the show.
People in the beginning, and just being like very Mexican nationalist pride, but then starting to say really ugly things like Hondurans go home, we don't want any more Hondurans. And then also people really picked up on one German outlet had recorded an interview with one woman saying that she didn't like the beans and tortillas that they were being given in a cup, that she said this is like what pigs eat. And people really took advantage of that, making memes out of it. It went viral, and people in the march had signs that said, in Mexico, we like beans, meaning like these are very ungrateful people. They come, they invade our country using the same words that Donald Trump uses, and they don't even want to eat our food. They should just go home. And then these some Trump supporters actually from California came down and participated in the march, and they all... it's believed, local journalists told me, that they think also there are local rehabilitation centers here in the city where then political actors or governments or whoever just wants to influence opinion will pay people from these rehabilitation centers to like come out and be kind of like grupos de choque or shock groups. I can't think of exactly what the right term would be in English, but to come to the protest. They were also at this protest. They try to get very close to the migrant shelter. The migrants were essentially behind bars, kind of terrified that they would come in and attack them. But there were riot police that kept this like angry mob of Mexican nationalists, very xenophobic and racist rhetoric, kept them at bay from attacking the migrants.
And the mayor of Tijuana famously like wore a hat saying "Make Tijuana Great Again" or something like that.
Yes, that is. I did see. I mean, that was reported in a local outlet, which is a reputable outlet, Seminario Zeta. And then also, I haven't seen other proof of it, but I would believe it because of this outlet. And do know that also Trump did share things that they had said, that he had said, that he said, we don't want them here, we want them to go home. And it's very clear that there's very few resources for the migrants here. The Mexico City, I would say, actually was very ill prepared perhaps last year for the earthquake that shook the city, but was very prepared with what was called the Puente Humanitario, a humanitarian bridge to receive the migrants in a stadium this year. So therefore, the Tijuana has said that the federal government has not helped, and that is why they don't have more resources. But also, Tijuana is a migrant city. Most of the people in Tijuana come from other parts of Mexico. There was a population of over 5,000 Haitian migrants that did come here 2 years ago and have actually have been very well integrated into the Tijuanaense society. But yet there's just this hate that has been provoked against these Central American migrants. And people, when you interviewed people in the protest, they just repeat the same things, the what I said already about the beans. And then also just they're criminals. They invaded. And also just kind of like, why are they here? Why can't they just go to the United States, et cetera?
But there were still people that showed up to support the migrants, during the protest. That's what our understanding is. It wasn't just like all of Tijuana showed up and was against them.
No, but I mean there were maybe 10 people that showed up and hundreds against it. It wasn't it was not like a US style to protest next to each other. No.
Gotcha.
There was, but that doesn't mean that all of Tijuana is against them. I mean, I took a taxi this morning towards the shelter and the taxi driver said, "Oh, are you a journalist?" I said, "Yes." And he goes, "I'm really embarrassed of what happened the other day. I can't believe people do that."
Yeah.
I don't think it represents all of Tijuana, and the neighborhood where the shelter is like a kind of rough and tough working class neighborhood that has been welcoming of the migrants. People come and donate food. It's definitely not to mean that no one wants them here, but I think also it is a complicated situation because the migrants don't want to be here. But the government and, I mean, they're kind of like in limbo of what will happen. Some are trying to get work, like many, especially single men that have come more as economic refugees looking for work. They are more open to staying in Tijuana for economic reasons if they could get a job. And the Mexican government has offered work visas for them.
Gotcha. Just a few more questions. I know we got to go soon. But do you feel there is a growing far-right presence in Mexico? Because we've seen in the past, even groups of people that look like far-right skinheads and they're, you know, far-right nationalists. Is that definitely a poll that's growing? And there seems to be some people that are giving interviews from the protest the other day saying, like, you know, we want a border policy like the United States here.
Yes, I do think that, like, fascism, as we know, is on the rise in the whole world. And I do think it is on the rise in Mexico, that this is very, like, fascist, xenophobic thought. What was, I, as a photographer, was looking at what the images are from the protest. And there are images that we've taken many times before, you know, be it that Mexico wins a soccer game, the World Cup, or is Mexico Independence Day, where just these images of people just celebrating Mexican pride. It started at, you know, the Cuauhtémoc statue of, you know, like an indigenous Mexican pride reference. And but yet, and people actually using terms like the Mexican Revolution or Mexican independence. And so I do think that what it is, a lot of it is Mexican nationalist rhetoric that has existed for a very, very, very long time, but then using that rhetoric against a population that is entering the country, you know, so that they using, I mean, the people being Mexican nationalists and then speaking down on Hondurans that I had not heard before. But I don't think, I think it has something to do with misinformation, fake news, social network, and then also, of course, does have to do with Trump influence and Trump supporters' influence.
Right. Well, the last question, Politico reported the other day that the troops on the U.S. side of the border are going to start to deploy back home, and that by Christmas they're expecting all of them to be gone, it's about 5,800 of them across three states. I'm just curious, in your opinion, what do you think, how will that impact this situation? I mean, most people agree that this was all just a show before the midterms, but with the U.S. troops gone, will that change anything at all?
I mean, I think the troops have had no impact on the migrants' lives and their decisions, sure, except for invoking more fear in them. And, I mean, yesterday, on Monday, a judge did rule that Trump eliminating people's rights to request asylum if they don't enter at a border point, crossing point, that is, you know, sanctioned by the U.S., that he cannot do that. So therefore, wow. I do think that it is possible that people will be more open to trying to just turn themselves in, you know, like just cross somewhere and be detained and then see if they could get asylum. Just yesterday, I was at the San Isidro border crossing, which is where, I mean, hundreds of thousands of cars and people cross between San Diego and Tijuana every day. And there was a group of like five families from the caravan who were just very, just fed up, and they didn't know what to do. They have small children, they're fleeing violence, and they wanted to start the asylum procedures so that they were sitting there and wanting to do something, and that just the CBP officers, Border Patrol, were like, we can't help you here. And I mean, when I was there, they were not being, they were just calling for backups, but they were just telling them they can't be there. I had to leave, and I don't know what happened after. But the point is that I think perhaps with knowing that all the troops were there, people would have been scared to go to any point on the border and turn and just try to cross and turn themselves in, thinking that they might be fired upon, as Trump had said. So the only difference I could see is if it stays that all of these asylum seekers, because Tijuana has not ramped up how many people they could process a day, nor have any of the other border crossings, because as we know, the U.S. has spent all their money in militarizing the border, not in assisting these refugees or asylum seekers. Therefore, the only way I could see that these soldiers would have an impact is that perhaps people would be a little less scared to just try to cross and turn themselves in.
Right. Well, thank you so much for reporting and being out there and sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for having me on the show, and follow along on Twitter or on Instagram at Andalalucha. And thanks for having me on the show. We'll be right back.